The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Today on Grace in Focus, answering a question about Abraham and whom were his visitors in Genesis 18. Was one of them Jesus Christ? Thank you, friend, for joining us today. We come to you from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are a focused, free grace organization, and we'd love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There is all kinds of information there, including about our conference ministry and our free subscription magazine and our seminary. You can also view our short videos on our YouTube channel, Grace Evangelical Society. Hope you will do that, and once again, our website, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
We were talking about Jesus, whether he was in Proverbs 18:24 and Psalm 1. Now we're going to ask the same question. Did the Lord Jesus Christ appear to Abraham in Genesis 18?
And we're going to say absolutely.
We are going to say absolutely. And this would be the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And by pre-incarnate, I mean Jesus did not permanently take on human flesh. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it. But Jesus was not conceived and born until, well, we call it the first century. It was actually on our current calendar around 4 BC.
Right.
But that was when Jesus, we call it the incarnation, when the Lord comes
when
to Mary.
When he took on human flesh.
And yeah, and Mary, the virgin, is with child and she gives birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people think, well, that's when he took on human form. Well, not exactly. He had human form in the Old Testament. For example, he met with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day, Genesis 3:8.
And we talked about in previous podcasts with Moses.
Met with Moses, and he met with many people. Well, in Genesis 18, he's meeting with Abraham, and he's got bodily form. He can be seen. He could be touched. He can eat food. I recently taught a course on Christology, the doctrine of Christ, and I suggested that it's an open question as to whether Jesus has been the God-man forever. In eternity past, did Jesus have bodily form? I don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. But we do know in Genesis 3 he does, and we don't know. Was it like a light switch? He would have bodily form, then it goes away. Bodily form, it goes away, and it didn't become permanent until his incarnation. I don't know. All we know is he appeared many times. I think it's quite conceivable that he's always been the God-man. For all of eternity, he's been the God-man. I don't know. The scriptures aren't clear on that.
Yeah. Don't they have the same discussion in seminary classes about angels, what kind of body they have as well?
Well, there's a big debate about Genesis 6. Who are the sons of God in Genesis 6? I think those were fallen angels that had offspring with women. And by the way, all the angels appear to be male. Mm-hmm. We don't have any examples of female. Maybe there are female angels, but we aren't told about that. And it appears they had the ability to procreate. Now, evidently, that's something God doesn't allow anymore. He put the angels who sinned in chains, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and also the book of Jude. You remember when the gathering demoniac,
sure,
have you come to torment us before the time? They know that some of the fallen angels are being tormented right now,
right
before the time, and they're thinking, are we going to be joining them?
Are we joining them in Mark 6?
So now let's look at Genesis 18. So give us an overview of Genesis, even though you didn't write the commentary on it. Give us the overview.
Well, this is dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And Abraham gets a visit by three men.
Okay. They appear to him.
Right.
And the ancient Near Eastern custom was you showed hospitality to strangers. That was very important.
And Abraham knows these are not just three ordinary Joes.
And how does he know that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we know that he sees them, and certainly the conversation he has with them.
Conversation is going to reveal this, but it's possible. I think a lot of people suggest their appearance was a little bit different than your normal person. There was something special about them. Maybe they had particularly white garments. Maybe they had a kind of a presence about them. But how does he lifted up his eyes, verse 2, and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. It's almost like they just appear.
Right.
When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed down to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant."
That seems a little more than this is just somebody visiting.
Right.
You know, whatever he sees in them. Or, I mean, I guess we could even say that maybe the Lord said he was going to have some special visitors or something, you know, before this. Who knows?
And then they have bread and they have a calf. They kill a calf and they prepare it for them. He took butter and milk and he stood by them under the tree. Notice the words in verse 8, as they ate. Angels can eat.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, he can eat. That's right.
Yep.
You remember he ate after his resurrection, too.
Sure.
In John 21, he's got the fish there and stuff. And he's
he'll eat in the kingdom.
He says, "I'm going to drink the fruit of the vine with you in the kingdom, and I'm going to eat these feasts with you in the kingdom." So he then talks about Sarah, and Sarah was listening. And he says, of course, in verse 10, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son."
So he's predicting the future.
And guess what? Jesus is ultimately talking about himself. The son isn't going to be Jesus. It's going to be Isaac. But Isaac is in the line of Messiah.
Right.
So it's really amazing. And Sarah laughs. And the Lord basically says, why does she laugh? And she wants to claim she didn't laugh. But she was afraid.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones. Great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
And then the two men arose and looked toward Sodom. Abraham went with them to send them on the way, and the Lord then says, so two of the angels leave, but the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." That's Genesis 12, 1-3. And so he decides to tell him what's going to happen. The Lord says, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went to Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked?"
But even there, he stood before the Lord.
Right. The God-man, the Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
It's the man that's visiting that he just ate with.
Right. And he's recognizing that the two who are going off with judgment. And he's recognizing that the Lord here is talking about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, which Abraham was certainly well aware of, right? His nephew Lot lived there among
right.
these wicked people. And we're told in 2 Peter 2 that Lot's righteous soul was tormented day and night by the wickedness that was around him. So Abraham is aware of what's going on, and so he starts pleading for his nephew and for the city. And he starts out and says, "Suppose there are 50 righteous people in the city. Would you destroy that place for 50? This is comical. The Lord says, "Okay, no, I won't if there are 50.
Abraham had a very rosy picture of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, 50,
so
50
then,
righteous people.
This is like Shark Tank.
Yeah.
He says, "Okay, how about 5 less? You're going to destroy it for 45? And the Lord's like, "No, okay, 45 righteous people, I won't destroy it." And then he says, "How about 40? "No, okay, I won't if there's 40 righteous. 30? Okay, I won't. How about 20? "No, I won't destroy 20. Don't get mad, Lord, but how about 10?
Right? So maybe he was more realistic. Maybe he knew 50 was pushing the limits there.
Right, and so on verse 33, so the Lord went his way. Verse 32, and he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Now let me express what the principle is. There's a principle, and I wrote a book called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, and this is a key repentance concept. God doesn't judge a nation or a city or a people until their sins are filled up. He doesn't judge the world until the sins are filled up. So, for example, God didn't destroy the Ninevites when Jonah went there because they repented. And it was 150 years later before he destroyed them. He destroyed the entire world when the sins of the world were filled up with the flood.
And he gave them 120 years, even after Noah was building the ark.
Right. Anyone that was righteous could have gone in the ark. Remember, here we got 10 righteous. Well, guess what? There weren't that many righteous people. We only had, you know, Noah and his wife and his three sons.
Lot and his wife.
I mean, in the flood. Ark.
Right, right.
But yeah, there's another example. In Sodom, it's just Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, and his wife turns out to
love Sodom too much.
Yeah,
right.
She's looking back. She's grieving what she's lost. And so there aren't 10 righteous people. If there had been, he wouldn't have judged the city. And this is the point that we find all the way. And guess what? The tribulation isn't going to occur until the sins of the world are filled up.
Which is Hodges' view there in 2 Peter.
Right. And ultimately, at the end of the millennium, we're going to have a destruction of the current heavens and the current earth because of the rebellion at the end of the millennium, which shows how wicked people are.
We could say that there comes a time when God's patience runs out.
Right, but he's exceedingly patient.
Exceeding, right.
And by the way, this is true individually, too. God doesn't take our lives until our sins are filled up. Now, we don't know. I'm talking here about people who are in rebellion against God. Obviously, for the person who's walking in fellowship with God, sometimes we do die prematurely. That's just part of God's sovereign will at times. But proverbially speaking, the godly person is going to live 70, 80 plus years, right? And the ungodly person's life, typically speaking, is going to be cut short.
Right.
And so we need to recognize that Genesis 18 is talking about the Lord Jesus appearing to a man who was his friend. He's called the friend of God. Abraham is the friend of God. And he met with him. He told him what he was going to do. And then he did it.
And he is the judge of all men.
Right.
As Revelation talks about, and as John talks about as well. And here we get a preview of it.
Judgment in this life and judgment in the life to come.
Well, we appreciate that, Bob, and we're looking forward to Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament commentary. Until it comes out,
keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, what about the Amplified Bible? Is it as reliable as it is readable? So join us again, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.